We're continuing our study here about these parenting detours, and we're going to pick up. Last week we had Brother Esayenko with us, and so you had a reprieve from having to put up with me, but you got me for two more Sundays. So just another reprieve is on the way, coming quickly. But these are some things that we went over last time. Our number eight here was how, as we as a parent can kind of set a tone of despair. I know it may sound kind of tricky, but we went through these passages in Romans 8 of all these different things that we as Christians are going to face. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we will face these in our lives. And if we, and again, this is something that we can focus on the negative so much that it affects our children. Just have, and sure, there's evil, there's bad things that happen in our world. Yes, there is a lot of mess, even in Christianity. There's a lot of things going on that are not right. They're not good. But there's also still the Lord. There's still a lot to be thankful for. There's still a lot to focus on that is good. And as Christians, sometimes, you know, we get in the woe is me kind of mindset, and we get in the negativity mindset about just how, yes, we know it's bad. We know it's bad. It's been bad before. As a matter of fact, I mean, I mentioned this last week, you know, so far at this point, you know, we're meeting pretty freely right now. I'm not scared that someone's going to come in here, some authority, and come in here with a gun and arrest me because I'm teaching the Bible. Or drag me out in the street and tie me to a stake and burn me to death. I have no fear about that right now because the Lord's given us freedom. Could that day come? Sure. I don't know. But people have gone through that and had it a lot worse than we have. I haven't been thrown into a coliseum with massive lions running at me, or my worst fear ever would be like, oh, here's a Christian, throw him in a snake pit. I would just be like, you know what? Just go ahead. Hey, Lord, please forgive me for denying you. No, wouldn't. No, like, deny the Lord or go face a cobra. I don't know. I'm just kidding. We haven't had to face things like that, and people have before. Do you understand that? I mean, we live separated from that in our mindset. We think, oh, that was, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago, and we've evolved to some new civilization to where we don't have to face these things anymore. It could come. I mean, and what do you do? This was happening in the New Testament church. They were going after people, beheading people. Paul himself was going after Christians and persecuting them before he became a believer. We've not seen anything. And yet we get despaired about things that really are this big. They're minute in the grand scheme of things. And then we get this negative attitude, and our children pick up on that. And if we're the ones that are giving that pattern, then they're going to have that pattern. I see that all the time just with young people in school. A young person that's like this all the time or kind of like this depressed or whatever, typically they live in a home where there's nothing but complaining and murmuring and negative and down and blah, blah, blah. It affects children. It affects them negatively. And I'm not saying that walk around, oh, you know, there's a balance. You know what I'm saying? You know, praise the Lord, Christians died. Yay. No, we don't go to that extreme. And we need to be happy in the Lord. But we also need to be serious about what's going on. I'm not undermining either side. But there's a balance there. And if we aren't showing forth in our life by the choices we make, by the attitude that we have, that's my biggest issue that I face in this regard. I've got to be careful with my attitude that my children are watching. You know, I'm not perfect at it. I'm sure all of you are. So I will just speak to myself today. That's no problem. But I've got to watch that. You know, I tell you what, it's really hard, by the way. And I guess it might depend. Well, actually, it doesn't really depend on the type of job you have. I remember my dad coming home, and he was a paint contractor. Yet he would go through stressful situations, and he'd be talking about it at home, and you know, you overhear it as a child. Now, this sounds kind of weird, but when I was a boy, I had a lot of nightmares. I don't know if y'all ever had those, like bad dreams. I don't have them anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's because I married Megan. No, wait a minute. I better not go down this road. I haven't had nightmares in a long time. I really haven't. But when I was a boy, I did. And I remember, I mean, distinctly, one of the nightmares I would have was a contractor, a builder, because my dad worked for builders. And it was always a picture of this huge contractor that was like way taller than Goliath. And he had massive construction boots that were like this tall. And he'd be stomping around looking at my dad and just wanting to stomp on my dad. I distinctly remember those nightmares. It was weird. And I've thought about where in the world did that come from? Because I remember hearing my dad talk about the stress he was undergoing at work, that his builder was yelling at him because, you know, he couldn't get the job done in time and he's got five other houses to paint and we got to close on this one and touch up this one and paint. And this. And my dad would talk about some of the stress he was undergoing. And I, as a boy, was listening to that and I go to bed and had nightmares. I'm not faulting my dad for that. I'm just a weird person, okay? Y'all know that I'm just weird. So, but what I'm trying to say is if we aren't careful, our negative mindset about our job, our life, and it's been hard for me, you know, because I don't know if you know it, but working in a ministry is stressful. Maybe you don't believe that, I guess. Maybe come hang out with Miss Pepper and I for a day. And then, I've got to be careful that when I go home, that doesn't come with me. I know you don't believe this of me, but I've actually gone home with a heavy load and get home at 8 o'clock and then snapped at my wife or snapped at my kids. I know none of you have ever done that again. I'm just being very transparent, I guess, today. But I've done that. And I've had to learn. Don't take it home. That's hard. I was, you know, okay, I'm home. I'm going to spend some time with my kids or whatever. And then when I'm about to go to bed, then I can lay there and stress out all night and not sleep. Okay, I'm by myself, not affecting my family. But you've got to learn that. And it's hard. It's hard. But if we do a constant pattern of negative, 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 our kids watch that. We're going to go through this. So what are we going to do? Grumble and complain and get mad at God? Well, then our kids are going to think, well, there's no hope. Why are we doing this? I don't want this God stuff. We got to be careful with the mindset and the attitude that we want them to grow up and have faith in God. We don't want them to see dad and mom, you know, not interested in God and having doubts. And then them growing up with that same mindset. So I wanted to move on in this same regard, but he points out seven positive or negative choices. I'm going to put them up on the board, the first four right here. We're just going to go right through them one at a time. So I can make choices, and this is it as a parent. You can make this choice. And I say this a lot, and sometimes we think, well, it just happened. No, you can choose things. You know, one that I tell some kids quite a bit, and they may get upset, and parents may even get more upset. Or I say it to some of my boys sometimes, you know, because, you know, for years, Jared would pick on Isaac, you know, and now that they're older, they're like good friends. So now that Isaac can pick on Jesse, right? That's the way it goes with brothers. Do y'all know anything about that? No? Yeah. Okay. Good. So it's just the rite of passage, right? Jared picked on, Seth picked on Jared. Jared picked on Isaac. Isaac picks on Jesse. And Isaac's so annoying. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. If you're annoyed, you chose to be annoyed. Now, maybe, yeah, if Isaac crosses, whatever. You know, we'll deal with it. But don't come whining to me about it. You chose to be annoyed. You chose to be offended. Oh, they offended me, hurt my feelings. You chose to allow them to be hurt. Grow up. That sounds harsh. You know, and then you have to go deal with whatever, you know, and deal with the other person. I'm not here to talk about the other person. I'm here to talk about you. Stop being annoyed. Just choose that. Because when people see that you're annoyed, guess what? They keep sticking it to you. And then it goes forward. So if you want to know anything about just constant annoying and constant just hang out with Kevin Gower and you'll realize you'll never win. No, we have a good time, don't we, Kevin? We have a good time. All right. I can make these choices in these situations. We're going to look at seven choices you can make. Here's the first four. The first one is I can choose to be victorious or I can choose to be in despair. It is that simple. Now, it sounds simple. It's difficult, though, when the situation is full of despair. Maybe a health situation came up in your family, or maybe a financial crisis, whatever it might be. I can choose to be victorious, or I can choose to have the pity poor me and be in despair. Because if I choose to be in despair, I'm going to reap. Every choice has a consequence, right? You choose something, there's a reaping. I'm going to reap a self-defeated attitude. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at a few verses here and there. Proverbs chapter 18. Look at verse 14. You know, this talks about the choices just in general. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Proverbs 18, 14. Your spirit, your attitude is the key when you go through difficulties or when you go through good times, no matter what it is. Your spirit and attitude is the key, because it will sustain you in a difficult infirmity or a situation. Your spirit, if it's right with the Lord, if it's looking that I'm going to reject in my mind the negative thinking, I'm not going to focus on that, but I'm going to have faith in the Lord and I'm going to trust Him through this. And I don't want to give way to this despair. So I can choose victory, or I can choose to be defeated. You know, our children, Dr. Brock points this out, ought to have a can-do attitude. If any of you have ever taught anybody in school, ever, I can't stand the I can't. You know, they teach you even in teacher college and methods and stuff, don't put up with an I can't answer. Jake's smiling. He knows why we have a funny joke about math. But yeah, I can't. I'm not talking about Jake. It's a funny joke in class. But I can't. Jake's a great math student. Uh-oh, his face changed. We better move on. All right. You know, we have this, well, I can't do it. I'm not. And we put the paper down and walk away. Well, no. You're not doing that. You're going to come back here and you're going to gut through it. You're going to figure it out. We have a generation of young people, I hate to say it, but when they reach any obstacle, they stop. They quit. They do the throw in the towel. We got to get over that. We got to say, you know what? I'm going to work harder. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to train. I'm going to do better. I'm going to meet this challenge. And here's the sad reality. We've got a generation of parents that all they want to do is remove the obstacle. Oh, you said that about my child. You're making my child do what? Yeah, we are. Our elementary PE teacher, doing a great job. She was kind of appalled a little bit at the lack of athletic ability in the elementary children in some of them. She was like, what have they been doing for the past 5 years? Yeah, well, they've been sitting inside is what they've been doing. So they can't even do simple. She's making them do push-ups, sit-ups, calisthenics. I was like, have at it. Lay it on them. They need it. Instead of this, I can't. Nope, let's go. Do it. Do that sit-up. You can do it. Keep trying. Go harder. We live in the, you made my child do a sit-up? Yeah. Yeah, we did. There's this little sticker right here. It's North Carolina. Sorry for the English. Can't, never, could. That's North Carolina right there. That can fall back into my accent. I can't. Well, can't, never, could. Of course you can't, because you gave up before you even tried. Mr. Whitney, his favorite thing is, I'll come in and we'll be talking about something, and I'll say, well, Chris, I can't do that. Can't or won't? That's Chris's statement. Can't or won't? Yeah, that's a big difference right there. Sometimes we can do things, we're just refusing to do it. And we need to teach our children that you can do things. I mean, Paul talks about that. I can do all things through Christ. I know that verse has been taken out of context a million times and been used by every athletic team under the sun. But, you know, we have this, I can't, before we even get started. Before we even get started, we're already giving up. Throwing in the towel. But parents are quitting on their kids today. They don't care. They don't want nothing to do with them. It's sad. But they're quitting before they even try, because adults in their life have quit on them their entire lives. Dad's gone. Mom don't care. And kids, well, I can't. I don't care. Whatever. I ain't even going to try. You better get in there and try. Yeah, but I might fail. Who cares? Who cares? You'll only be a better, stronger person. You'll learn from it. I've learned a lot of things from failure. That's like probably the mantra of my life, failure. You just learn from it and you move on. It's part of what God wants us to do. You know, you say, I'm having difficulty. I might need help, but I can do this. Now, I'm not trying to be some positive mental attitude. You know, they have that overkill self-esteem movement and psychology. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about a godly, I can do it. I think every missionary that's ever gone to a foreign field has had to have this mentality. I remember one of the most amazing missionaries I ever met was in Peru. He was 85 years old, almost 90, I think. He had been in Peru his entire life. He started a mission board there. He was a top engineering student at Georgia Tech University back in the, 40s or 50s or 60s, way back there, because he's whatever decade that would be. I can't remember the exact year. He was an engineering student. He got saved at a church meeting that his friend took him to. He left engineering school because he believed God wanted him to be a missionary in Peru. Quit it, left it all, money, all of it, left it. Said, I'm not even going to fly an airplane there. He took a boat. I said, why'd you do that? Dr. Alvarez asked me, why'd you do that? He said, because I knew if I flew there, I would realize how easy it would be to come home. So he sat on a cargo boat for I don't know how many weeks and made his way to Peru. And he was like, I'm here. Didn't go to some mission board to get support, nothing like that. He said, I don't believe in that. God called me, I got up, and I went. I know there's wisdom, there's a big debate about that, but whatever. I'm just telling you this guy's story. He just went. He started going to villages. He would sleep, talked about how the many nights he would walk from village to village, he'd sleep under a tree to go to the next village to preach. Establish churches and then train nationals to take the church, then he'd go to another one. That was his life. Now, you want to talk about hard? I can't do it. I can't do it. Yeah, he said, you know what? I can because God called me to do it. And he went and did it. And, I think sometimes we have this little soft life. I tell the kids in chapel this all the time. We got this little soft life going on in America. I tell them, you wake up this morning, you go to the pantry, and your Fruit Loops are gone, so you get angry. My brother drank the last of the milk. There's people starving and dying all over the world. And we're mad that I don't have Fruit Loops. I had to eat Captain Crunch instead. Poor me. And then we get in our little car and we drive in our nice air conditioning and we come to a school with air conditioning. We don't even think about the word difficulty. It doesn't cross our minds. And so when some difficulty comes, our first response is, what is this? I can't. I'm going to throw in the towel. You know, it's one thing about that sports can be competitive and all kinds of stuff like that. But there's one thing I like about sports and our students and things playing sports is because I've seen over the years, students want to just quit. I can't stand it when a student wants to quit a sport or quit something. Well, it got hard. I don't want to do that. Conditioning, what's that? Well, you just want to walk out there and be the star? Yeah, good luck. As you airmail the basketball between the field goal posts. This isn't football. This is basketball. It goes in the hoop. Anyway, I'm quit. Or they quit on their head. I got that ref called a foul on me. I'm going to go sit on the bench and pout. What are you doing? Quitter? And then parents, oh, how dare you? What are you doing? You're teaching your kid it's okay to quit and you're going to stand up for it. Had enough of this I can't mentality. We need to teach them that they can do things, not in pride, but in a confident attitude in the Lord. Now, whatever God calls you to do, young person or adult, whatever God's calling is for your life, you can do it because He's called you to do it. You can be confident in that. Paul said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. I can choose to be victorious, or I can just say, nope, can't. That's another one of Whitney's and I's favorite things. I walk in the office, I'm like, hey, Chris, nope, can't. And then, Chris, you didn't hear it? Nope, can't. And we joke around like that. It's a lot of fun. But sometimes a teacher will come in, and Mr. Darrell will say, hey, Dr. Watt, nope, can't. And we laugh about it, move on. It's funny. But that's the reality that a lot of young people live under. Nope, can't. Don't care. What does it matter? Poor me. Grow up. Grow up. You can. Quit being lazy. Get in there and dig harder. Work harder. Try harder. You know why? Because it's for the glory of the Lord. It's for His glory and honor. And what am I just going to try to display something that says, oh, Christians are defeated all the time? No, I want to succeed for the Lord so that He gets the glory and people see what the Lord can do. Number two, I can choose these two things. I can choose to be thankful or I can choose to be unthankful. Now, that sounds very simple, doesn't it? But you can choose that. Oh, you don't understand what happened to me. You know, I probably don't. I'm going to be honest with you. I've had a pretty easy life. I really have. A lot of times I think and I say, Lord, when's the bad stuff? When are you going to hit my family with bad cancer or something? When are my kids going to die in a car accident? Could happen today. I don't know. I haven't had a major tragedy happen in my life. I'm not even going to knock on wood because I don't care. It's if the Lord wants it to happen, it's going to happen. Am I going to choose to be thankful or unthankful? Sometimes I wonder about myself. I'd probably be pretty angry at first because I know me. And I'd probably complain because I know me. Am I the only? I guess I'm the only. That's okay. I'm preaching it myself today because I know me. But what are we going to choose? The lot's been cast into the lap. It happened. Things happen in our lives. What am I going to choose? Well, if I choose ingratitude and I'm going to be angry and not thankful and complain all the time, then I'm going to have a self-centered attitude that it's all about me and how I feel about it. Poor me. Why did this happen to me? Me, 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 me. I tell you, we live in the generation of me. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Spend some time with some young people and you'll see it real quick. It's about me. I don't want to do anything. It's all child-centered. What is it going to do for me? What am I going to get out of it? Well, if I do this, then I'll get this. And if I manipulate this, I'll get this. That's what ingratitude teaches. It teaches self-centeredness. We ought to, and again, I am the most guilty in this room. We ought to promote in our homes an attitude of thankfulness. Thankfulness. Ephesians chapter 5. Go to this verse. You probably know it by heart. But go to Ephesians chapter 5. We looked at this verse a while ago, this context about redeeming the time and so forth. And you get to verse number 20. Giving thanks when? Always. For what? Some things? The good stuff? The times I'm happy kind of stuff? All things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Boy, I'm a failure when I look at that verse. 100% failure. Our homes should be verse 20. Because our children will see that. Imagine a generation of young people that thank the Lord and are not self-centered. You want to talk about changing a country, changing an environment, changing a school, whatever it is, changing your home. Those young people would serve the Lord. Number three, I can choose to have peace or I can choose to have fear and anxiety. We've gone through a lot of this in our country recently and around the world. Everybody's just fear, 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 fear. With sickness and COVID and death and people dying, and it was real. People were dying. It was a tough situation. Some people were brought to the point of it, of death, and then survived. It's tough. It's awful. But as a Christian, even in the midst of that awful, we can have peace. We can have peace. The Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust you in this situation. Because if we show fear and anxiety and worry, 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 then our children are going to reap a self-protective attitude. They're going to rely on themselves for protection instead of the peace of God for protection. Bible says, Peter said in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you. We're going to trust in the goodness of the Lord when tough times come. Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We need to teach our children, yes, we need to be cautious. Yes, we need to be careful. You know, no, hey, son, run across that 8-lane interstate there. See ya. No. I mean, obviously, maybe we want to send some of our kids. No, I'm just kidding. We need to be wise and we need to be cautious, but if we live in a constant state of worry and fear, what am I going to do? Fear, fear, fear. What is going to happen? Well, I tell you one thing. We don't know what's going to happen. Not one of us knows tomorrow. Not one of us knows what's going to happen next week, next year, next month, after the election, before the election, 5 years from now. We don't even know what's going to happen. So we're worrying about things that are not in our control. That's why we need to have the peace of the Lord, because He does know. He is in control. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. We need to learn to act wisely, act cautiously, prepare, pray, but in the end, we're relying on the Lord through the entire situation. We're going to rely on Him and how He's going to work in this. The next one, number four, quickly. I can choose to be content or I can choose to be covetous. Something comes into life or things are happening and we can choose to be happy with what the Lord's given us, our lot in life, whatever's going on. Or we can choose, and we've already talked about covetousness in this study, we can choose that we want to have more, more, and more. And I tell you, if we teach ourselves, our children this, they're going to become self-absorbed. It's all about me. Self-absorbed. So we ought to learn the attitude of contentment. The opposite of self-focus is, I don't have what I deserve. Just leave it with the Lord. And, you know, Paul talks about in the Philippians, I've learned whatever state I'm in, to be content, other verses that we could look at. And if we teach our children that they always want more, they always want more, and then they focus on that, you know, and it could be, you know, well, we maybe talk about this later, but, you know, I thought children, we try to teach our kids to be content for some things. Now, if you do this, that's fine. I'm not demeaning anybody, but, you know, this self-centered attitude of, and again, if your family does this, I'm not going after you, but we decided not to, like if our kids had a birthday, well, we got to get the other kids a present too so they don't feel left out. Now, we didn't do that. I don't know. If you do, that's fine. But I was like, you know what? You're going to celebrate with your brother and be happy about it because it's not about you. It's about him today. He's having his birthday, for example. And again, I'm just giving my opinion of what we did. I didn't want our kids to learn, oh, so-and-so got a present. Yeah, no, that's right. You didn't. Sorry. It's not your birthday. Yours is coming up next year or whatever. So, I mean, little things like that. What are we teaching them? We're going to covetous? Or just be content and be happy for the other person. Again, our society wants to appease everybody, make everybody happy, happy, happy. We've poured self-centeredness on children, and then we wonder why we have the generations that we do. Let's move on. Number 5, 6, and 7. I can have humility or pride. Humility or pride. I can choose that. And this is a hard one. This is a tough one. Because there are things going to come up in our lives that just grate us. The old flesh, the old pride, just... Well, you can make this choice right here. You don't know what brother so-and-so said to me. Okay. You don't know what sister so-and-so did. Or we assume things. They didn't, blah, 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 blah. Well, maybe they just didn't even know. And we get all proud about it. Proud about a situation. Instead of responding in humility. Humility. You know, pride likes to jump to conclusions. Pride makes assumptions. And pride goes from A to Z in like 2 seconds, right? And we make it the worst ever possibly thing that could ever happen to me. All we got to do is choose to be humble. There's a lot of verses about that. You know, if you choose humility, God pours His grace. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's a scary verse. God will literally fight you if you're proud. He'll fight against you. Your life will be a mess. But if you're just humble... Yeah, but you're expecting me to admit that I'm wrong when I'm not wrong. Okay. How about having a soft spirit? I tell students this quite a bit when, you know, because, you know, teenagers never have issues. I don't know if y'all know that. There's never any problems. There's never any drama, things like that. And I'll tell students, I say, listen, a soft answer turns away wrath. Yeah, maybe you feel like you were wronged, right? I tell them, they go, so-and-so did... Okay, maybe you feel like you were wronged. But maybe there's things going on with that student that you aren't aware of, and maybe if you have a soft, humble answer, you might actually help that young person. And they kind of like, I say, you need to go talk to them. Don't come whining to me about it. Go fix it. And then it usually ends up being, wow, I went over and told them I was sorry for thinking bad about them when they said that, and if, could I help them, and you know what? We had a great talk together, and we're friends. Well, good. Good. It should be. But you know what pride does? Pride just makes it worse. It takes the wound from this to this. It destroys relationships. You know, the Bible tells us that in the end times, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, and all down that line. You know, if someone is fallen in the pit of pride and they're hardcore on it, maybe you've met somebody like this, it is impossible to convince them that they're wrong or that they have a problem. They always play the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. You try to teach your children that very young. You know, and we've learned over, I've talked to my principals about this too, and we don't, so-and-so did this and this and this and this and this and on down the line, and because, you know, they'll get in trouble. And the first thing they say, you confront them, hey, why did you do this? Well, so-and-so, well, stop. We're not here to talk about so-and-so. I'm here to talk about you. We'll deal with that later. That has nothing to do with you. We're talking about what you did. And you're exhibiting pride right now. And you need to exhibit humility. It's not taught anymore. Men love themselves in this generation. And children ought to learn to not be braggarts, boasters, know-it-alls. You ever met kids that are know-it-alls? Oh, bragging, boasting, cocky. I tell our sports teams this all the time. I can't stand that. I can't stand it. You know, and I've been in situations. I've coached for many years. I've had players on other teams mouth off to me disrespectfully as I'm trying to coach my team, and they make a great play, and they run by and say something cutting to me, and I'm like, okay, you're 12, whatever. You know, don't let it bother me. It's fine. But I tell you what, that's bragging. That's just pride. You know, I've learned something over my life really easily. Learned it real early. At any time I'm thinking I'm the greatest, guess what happens? I learned early on that we used to go to the park and play basketball. I loved playing basketball when I was a kid. I mean, North Carolina, the home of college basketball, and Indiana. We'd go to the public park, and you learn real quick to keep your mouth closed. You walk in, and, you know, some of them was little trash talk stuff and all this. I learned a long time ago, just be quiet and just play the game. About the time I opened my mouth, guess what? Air ball. Oops. Missed a layup. Oops. Just be quiet, because God has a way of just like, oh, you're that good? Let me show you how good you are. I know that's a little example, sports. But, you know, this bragging, I'm the best, not a place for it, because God, pride goeth before a fall is as true today as it has been forever. You will fall flat on your face. Pride goes before the fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction, I believe is the way the verse finishes it out. We need to teach our children, instead of being braggarts, you know, cocky, there's no reason for that. You know what we should be? Helpers and encouragers. Helpers and encouragers. You know, it was hard for me when I was younger, and I learned as a teenager that when somebody else made a great play, I congratulated them. Now, if you try that in the sports world today, I mean, people look at you like you're crazy. You know, I got crossed over, and then they made a layup. I'm like, hey, man, great play. Good job. That took me a long time to do that. Now, I will never do that if I'm playing with Kevin Gower. We won't go there, but no. What's the difference? Just, it's not a big deal. Why let pride ruin everything? That's what it does. And our children get caught up in this because, again, in our professional athletic world, that's all they see. Now, I can't stand that made a dunk and then let me step over you and flex. Or Kevin's favorite, Cam Newton, I'm Superman. You ain't Superman. Go sit on that bench. You can't even win a Super Bowl. Well, he got taught his lesson, choked, proud, proud, proud all season, went to the Super Bowl and laid an egg. What's the point? It's like, just congratulate people for doing great and play. But we live in this culture and world that it's me, 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 me. Self-promoting attitude. Dr. Brock says he has a rule in his house. He said, you know, his children, when they were growing up, they entered many competitions, academic, fine arts. They brought home ribbons. They could have bragged about those achievements, but they didn't, because the rule in our house was, You can brag on yourself to mom and dad and to each other, but you are never to brag to other kids or put others down for their lack of achievement. I often heard our children encouraging their friends to enter more events and to do their best. You know, that is contrary to what our culture is, because it's in your face. It's about me, self-promoting. Children ought to learn the principle of seeking the Lord first. Humility. Learn humility. That God is the one that is sufficient, not ourselves. Put aside our own desires to please the Lord. Let's look at number six quickly, because I could stay on this one for a long time. Faith or control? This is another hard one. All right, here comes difficult situation. Am I going to trust in the Lord, or am I going to try to step in and control everything that happens in that situation? When I do that, well, it reaps this self-sufficient, that I can do it all. I don't need the Lord. I've got enough money. I can handle it. Well, God might drain your bank account. I was talking to a friend at breakfast this morning about all these people that are getting hacked with their Venmos and Cash Apps and PayPals and all this stuff, and people's accounts are just getting drained left and right. Good friend of mine has a brother who's an ethical hacker. He hacks into banks. Banks hire him to hack into the bank to find out where the weak spots are. He said there's whole sides of the internet that if people knew, they would be scared to death. They would never have those kind of apps, because pizza people can get in that stuff in 3 seconds. Take everything you own. It's scary. You know, our banking world is just all electronic numbers game anyway now. It's just all moving numbers electronically. It's kind of scary. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh, yeah, I've got all this money. Zoop, gone. You're self-sufficient, you're going to trust in the Lord. Again, if you have Cash Apps, I'm not trying to scare you or anything. I'm just saying stuff. Anyway, we got to live by faith in the Lord, walking by faith and not by sight. Our children see this. We are doubting. We're spazzing out a little bit. We don't know what we're doing. What do we do? What do we do? Well, I got to get in here and control this situation. You know, he brings a good point here. Children ought to work hard. Do your best in that situation that's coming out. Work hard. Do what the Lord wants you to do. But always remember, God is working too. God's working too. And so it's not just you, the self-sufficient one. It is the Lord also working with you. The last one here, number seven. I can choose to trust in the Lord in the difficult situation, or I can choose to gripe. To gripe. Complain is what that means. I can't believe it. We just always just having this bad attitude about situations. And yes, I guess I'm the only unspiritual whatever today, but that's me. Complain about it. Why? Let's trust in the Lord and get through it. Let's trust in the Lord and allow Him to work. The Bible says to count it all joy when you fall into divers trials and temptations. Count it all joy. That's hard. That's what God's called us to do. Many times as parents, we fail in that 100%. Our children should see us responding with the right attitude to negative things and thanking the Lord in even the difficult things. And everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And if we as parents are putting that attitude of faith before our children, and they're seeing us even in hard situations, trusting in the Lord, not griping, not complaining, not having self-pity, not in a pit of despair, and woe is me, and all this kind of stuff. They're watching this. We want them to learn to trust the Lord. I know this probably doesn't help you much, but there's a chart. I guess I could print all this out. This is kind of a summary. We can choose a biblical attitude over here, or we can choose a negative attitude over here. Now, I'm not saying choosing a negative attitude means you're not a believer. It's you're allowing the flesh to come up is what you're doing, if you want to be honest with it. You're letting the flesh speak out, despair, ingratitude, fear, covetousness, pride, taking control, griping. And if we do that, middle column, this is the consequence. That's what we'll become. That's what our children will see. They'll have self-defeat before they even start. They'll be self-centered, focused on me. They'll be self-protective. Oh, I got to watch out for me. Self-absorbed. It's all about me. Self-promoting. Everybody look at me. Self-sufficient. I can do it on my own. And self-pleasing. Only do what I like. Those are the consequences that we can build if we're not careful. And, you know, the Lord is, again, difficult things are going to happen. Situations are going to come up in our lives. And we need to ask the Lord to give us the grace. I know I've been very convicted going through this whole series. And Lord, to help me as a parent to do better with these things, to watch the attitude that comes out with the children and so forth. And they're watching. They're watching. And Lord, help us to draw our families closer to the truth of His Word. Father, just thank You for our time this morning. Thank You for our audience, their good attention, for the things we've been able to learn. And Lord, help us to not have a selfish, negative attitude. Even Paul, Lord, he had that weakness of the flesh, and he sought Your face three times about it, and You just told him to deal with it, basically, and to turn it over to the Lord. But Lord, if we're self-loving and selfish, and that's really against our modern world psychology of loving ourselves first and having self-esteem and all these things, and Lord, it's just the tools of Satan to build up our pride and self-sufficiency, and I pray, Father, that we would seek to diminish those things as we draw closer to You, to be a blessing to our children and to guide our family in Your ways. Thank You, Father, for this time. Bless our service in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.